Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so spring is definitely here, Easter's coming up fast, and we're really going to focus this session right on your garden.
Yeah, what you can be doing right now.
Exactly. We've looked into some great timely advice from gardenadvice.co.uk, specifically their Easter gardening calendar special. And our mission really is just to pull out those key insights, those actionable things you can do to get your garden really going as the season picks up.
Absolutely. It's a really practical set of tips we've got. Things like managing some of that, you know, vigorous spring growth, but also, crucially, setting things up for a great summer.
Right. Making the most of this energy.
Well, it's about seizing this moment, yeah.
Okay, let's dive in. First up, something you might be seeing quite a lot of, maybe more than usual, wild garlic.
Ah, yes.
Apparently, with the climate changing, it's becoming, well, more common. Now, it sounds lovely, doesn't it? A bit of foraging.
It does, and it is delicious.
But the experts we read are calling it a potential garden thug. What's the deal there?
Well, it's that contrast, isn't it? It's great in the kitchen, maybe in a wilder bit of the garden. But the problem is, it spreads underground incredibly fast.
Ah.
Like, really fast. And it can just take over beds, lawns. And it's clever, too. Yeah. It dies back quite early in the season.
So you think it's gone?
Exactly. Looks like it's vanished.
Yeah.
But all that energy is just stored back in the bulbs, ready to come back even stronger next year. It's a pretty tenacious stuff.
Right. Okay. So it's a bit sneaky. If it's popping up where you really don't want it, what's the best way to, you know, get it under control?
The advice is,
yeah,
tackle it early. Like, as soon as you see it, digging it out physically, making sure you get the bulb. It's one good way. Especially if it hasn't spread too far yet.
Okay. And if it has spread, if you got a bigger patch.
Yeah, digging feels overwhelming. The other main method is smothering. You cover the whole area with a tough landscape membrane, you know, weed blocking fabric.
Right.
And then put a good layer of mulch on top, bark chips, something like that. That blocks the light, and eventually it should die off.
Blocks the light, stops the growth. Makes sense. But what if you actually, you know, like it, want a bit for cooking?
Yeah, if you want to enjoy it without the garden invasion, the key is containment.
Ah, right.
Grow it in pots. Or maybe set aside a specific bed, perhaps with some root barrier around it where you can keep it in check. That way you get the flavor, none of the thuggery.
Good tip. Pots it is, maybe. Okay, moving on. Those lovely spring flowers are starting to fade now on some shrubs. It's tempting just to leave them, isn't it?
It is. Job done, looks like.
But the experts are saying, no, now is the perfect time for pruning certain spring flowering shrubs. Why is that? Why now?
Well, think about the plant's energy cycle. If you prune right after they finish flowering, the shrub then has the whole rest of the growing season to put its energy into making new growth.
Hmm.
And it's that new growth generally that will carry next year's flowers.
I see. So you're basically setting it up for a better show next year by pruning now.
Exactly. You're directing its resources, telling it where to grow for future blooms.
Makes sense. And the sources mentioned quite a few specifics. Forsythia, Philadelphus, Choisya, even Bergenia, though that's more tiding, maybe.
Yeah, several key ones.
Let's start with Chanomalus, the flowering quince.
Right, Chanomalus, whether it's Speciosa or Japonica, key thing. Prunes as soon as the flowers are over.
Okay.
You want to cut back the shoots that just flowered, trim them back to a nice strong bud that's lower down.
Right, back to a bud.
And it's also a good time to look at the base of the plant. Take out maybe a few of the oldest, thickest, woodiest stems right down at the base.
To encourage new growth from the bottom.
Precisely. Keeps it vigorous, stops it getting congested.
Yeah.
And they're quite flexible plants, Chanomalus. You can train them flat against a wall, or just let them grow as a freestanding shrub.
And what conditions do they like?
They generally do best in a sunny spot. And give them a feed after pruning, just a general purpose fertilizer. That'll give them a good boost for developing next year's flower buds.
Got it. Okay, next up. Choisya, Mexican orange blossom. Specifically the spring flowering ones, like Choisya ternata.
Choisya usually needs a lighter touch. You don't need to go hacking away at it.
Oh.
Just a gentle prune after flowering is normally enough.
Yeah.
Maybe focus on taking out one or two of the very oldest stems, again, right from the base.
Just thinning it out a bit.
Exactly. Encourages fresh shoots from the bottom, keeps it looking nice and full. They love sun, need well-drained soil, and again, a bit of balanced feed after pruning helps.
Right. And Forsythia. Can't miss that bright yellow. Well, what's the plan there?
Forsythia, yeah. Similar principle. Prune the stems that have just flowered. Cut them back to a strong, healthy shoot lower down on the stem.
Okay.
And also make it a yearly job to remove maybe up to a third of the really old, thick stems right down at ground level.
A third? That sounds quite a lot.
It helps rejuvenate the whole shrub, stops it becoming a tangled mess of old wood that doesn't flower well. They're pretty tough, low maintenance generally. But, you know, a balanced feed in spring and a water if it gets really dry always helps.
Good advice. And rebs, flowering currant. Those have lovely flowers.
Rebs, yes. Definitely prune them right after flowering.
Yeah.
Again, similar idea. Mm. Take out some of the oldest stems at the base each year.
Okay.
And the stems that did flower. Cut them back to a strong pair of buds further down. The sources specifically mention that rebs can get quite woody and stop flowering well if you don't prune.
Ah, so it's important for keeping the flowers coming.
Very much so.
Okay.
And they suggest maybe a feed in early summer or something like Grow More, just to keep its strength up.
Right. Okay, last one in this pruning batch. Sweetwood, Sarcococca, known for that amazing scent in winter, early spring.
Hmm, yeah, fantastic fragrance. This one's pretty easy on the pruning front.
Oh, good.
Minimal work needed, really. Maybe just a light trim after flowering if you want to keep it neat, shape it a bit. And obviously take out any dead bits or branches that are growing awkwardly.
Simple tidy up.
Pretty much. Just remember, they like shade, moist soil.
Yeah.
So a mulch in spring is good. And a feed helps with growth and, you know, maximizing that scent.
Perfect. Okay, so that's wild garlic sorted, pruning strategy clear. What about feeding the rest of the garden now?
Yeah, this is a really good time, a key window to give everything a bit of a boost as it goes into the main growing season.
What kind of boost are we talking?
The suggestion is to start using a liquid tomato food every 3 weeks or so.
Tomato food? Even on non-tomato?
Yes, because it's high in potash, which is great for encouraging flowers and fruit development on lots of plants, not just tomatoes. So shrubs, perennials, bedding.
Ah, I see. That makes sense.
And if you already put down a base fertilizer earlier, like Grow More, this liquid feed acts as a really good top-up. Kind of complements it.
Building on that foundation. Got it. Now, something that drives me mad sometimes, and I know others struggle with it, peonies. Those gorgeous big flowers.
Ah, yes. The flop.
Exactly, the flop. Especially after rain. And other tall perennials, too. They just keel over. What can we do?
The absolute key here is getting supports in early. Before they get too tall and heavy, don't wait until they're already starting to lean.
Right, be proactive.
Absolutely. And the source material had an interesting point about supports. You know, those metal grid things can be quite pricey.
They can, yeah.
It suggests using hazel sticks instead. You know, just twiggy sticks pushed in around the plant.
Like pea sticks?
Exactly like pea sticks, but maybe a bit sturdier for peonies. Apparently they work really well. They're much cheaper or free if you can source them.
And they look more natural.
Totally. Blend right in. And it mentioned that if you struggle to find hazel, the My Garden team experts might be able to supply some. Worth checking out, perhaps.
That's a brilliant tip. Hazel sticks. I like that. Okay, another spring favorite. Bluebells. Probably looking amazing right now.
Oh, yeah. Peak bluebell time.
How do we make sure we get that same display next year?
It's actually quite simple. Just as the flowers are starting to fade, give them a little feed. Again, liquid tomato food is good.
To feed the bulb.
Exactly. Helps them build up reserves for next year's flowers. But the really crucial thing with bluebells is you must let the leaves die back naturally. Don't cut them off. Don't tie them in knots, however tempting it is to tidy up.
Why is that so important?
Because the leaves are photosynthesizing, creating food, and sending all that energy down into the bulb for next year. If you cut the leaves off too soon, you interrupt that process, and you'll get fewer flowers next year.
Ah, okay. Patience is key then. Let them do their thing.
Definitely. Let them go yellow and floppy. It's worth it.
Right. Okay, let's shift gears slightly, thinking ahead to summer harvests. Tomatoes, peppers, chilies. Is now the time to get those started?
Yes, absolutely. Time to get these warm season crops going, especially if you have a greenhouse or a sunny windowsill.
What's the recommended method for tomatoes?
The advice is quite specific, actually. Use bottomless terracotta pots.
Bottomless?
Yeah. You knock the base out carefully, fill them with John Innes number one and number two compost mixed together, and then stand these pots directly on the greenhouse border soil or maybe on top of a grow bag.
Hmm. Interesting. Why bottomless?
It allows the roots to grow down into the soil or grow bag beneath, giving them more room and access to moisture. But the compost in the pot gives them a good start. And interestingly, the notes mentioned this helps maintain humidity around the roots.
And that affects flavor.
Apparently so. Helps develop a better flavor. Worth a try, I think.
Definitely. And peppers and chilies, similar setup.
Pretty much the same conditions, yeah. Grow them in pots with good compost in the greenhouse or a very sunny, sheltered spot. And the key with peppers and chilies is starting them now. because they do need quite a long growing season to ripen properly.
Right. You might even need to bring them indoors later on.
Yeah, depending on the weather in autumn, you might need to bring the plants inside to get the last fruits to ripen up.
Okay. And there was a tip about getting a head start, a pro tip.
Ah, yes. If you feel like you're a bit behind or just want earlier crops, have a look at garden centers or places like B&Q now.
For plants.
Yeah, for young plants. Many of them sell plants that were actually sown way back, like just after Christmas. So they're already quite well established.
Gives you a big head start then.
Definitely. Much earlier fruit is possible that way.
Good to know. And one final bonus tip specifically for tomato fans.
Yes. This was interesting. Try growing some Italian heritage tomato varieties.
Heritage, what's the benefit?
Well, the claim is they often have outstanding flavor, maybe better than some of the more common F1 hybrids we grow in the UK.
F1 hybrids being the first cross between two parent lines.
Exactly. The heritage ones are often older, open-pollinated varieties. Apparently, they can also have some good natural resistance to certain diseases. Might need a bit more looking after, perhaps.
But the flavor payoff could be huge.
That's the suggestion.
Yeah?
Well worth experimenting if you love your tomatoes.
Fantastic. Wow. Okay, we've covered a lot there, from wrestling with that wild garlic
Thug.
to getting the pruning right on those spring shrubs, feeding for flowers, stopping the dreaded flop,
Supporting those peonies.
looking after bluebells, and getting those summer favorites like tomatoes and chilies going. It's been a proper deep dive into spring tasks.
It really has.
Yeah.
And these are all, really key things to be doing right about now. Taking these steps sets the garden up so well for the rest of the season. It's about investing that effort now for rewards later.
Absolutely. So, for everyone listening, maybe as you look out at your own garden, perhaps this Easter weekend, which of these jobs feels like the most, I don't know, urgent or maybe the most exciting one to get started on first?
Yeah. What's top of your list?
Something to think about. Time to get those hands dirty. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.